Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrook. Thanks for joining me.
Be sure to stay tuned as we go back to the dramatic days of persecution in England, when to be a Catholic there spelt hiding or exile. Historian Stella Fletcher tells the tale. We're in the Piazza Santi Apostoli in the heart of Rome to speak about the Jacobites. Far side of the square, there's a very undistinguished looking palazzo, Palazzo Muti, and that's where we are right now. Stella, this wasn't always such a demure looking place, was it?
It was remarkably distinguished. There were only three palaces in the whole of Rome that had a papal guard outside. The Palazzo Muti here, the Vatican, and the Quirinale. Another reason for this was that the Palazzo Muti was the home of the Jacobite court in exile. James II of England had been forced out of the country in 1688. His daughter and son-in-law came over from the Low Countries and were installed as a Protestant king and queen. James was a Catholic, so he was thrown out. He and his wife, Mary of Modena, and their baby son, also called James, then went on their travels. Initially, they were given a home by King Louis XIV of France at Saint-Germain-en-Laye near Paris. But in 1713, according to the terms of the Treaty of Utrecht, Louis was forced to relinquish his ties with the Jacobites and stop giving them sanctuary. So they went on their travels. First, they went to the Duchy of Bar, then down to Avignon, then Urbino, but that was a bit too obscure, they didn't like it there. Finally, they ended up in Rome. By this stage, the baby that was born in 1688 was now the head of the family, the man known as the Old Pretender. He was married to a Polish princess called Clementina Sobieska, a granddaughter of King Jan Sobieski of Poland, and the Pope gave this young bride and bridegroom this very palazzo. Well, they weren't terribly happy. The bride accused her husband of having an affair with a member of the court, a woman called Mrs. Hay, and she was not best pleased, to put it mildly. This couple did manage to have two children, two sons. The elder was Charles, known as the Young Pretender, and the younger was Henry, who in due course became a cardinal, the Cardinal of York. These were all the descendants of James, Duke of York. This was not the most glamorous place to be in Rome. The Old Pretender was a very austere figure, a very puritanical figure. And he didn't fit in at all well with the hedonistic life of 18th century Rome. He lived in that palace for about half a century, very quietly. And in due course, he relinquished political leadership and his son Charles took over the Jacobite cause. Of course, in 1745, Charles was over in Britain, leading the Great 45 Rebellion.
Oh,
I mentioned that Henry, the younger son, became a cardinal. This was the source of great contention between the two brothers, because Charles, although he was married, had no children. If Henry became a cardinal, he too had no children. And the Jacobite line would run out. So this act of Henry becoming a cardinal was regarded as a great act of betrayal. The betrayal of the Jacobite cause. And of course, Catholicism was regarded as the great enemy in Britain. So the fact that Henry had become a cardinal was just even worse. It meant that the Jacobites were even less likely to get back into power. The old pretender lived here for 50 years. Well, in that time, there was plenty of opportunity for the British to send their spies in. What was going on? You know, we've got 45 rebellion. That is the tip of an iceberg. People do want to get rid of the Hanoverians. So, needless to say, the British government, a Whig government for most of the period, sent its agents in. Principally, a very clever man called Horace Mann. And, in fact, he got a lot of anti-Jacobite information from an anti-Jacobite cardinal. There was a great deal of potential here for espionage. It was a monarchy in waiting, a court in waiting, the king over the water. The British government was jolly scared, but of course, it's the 18th century. There's ever so many British travellers in Italy doing the grand tour, collecting all their fake paintings or whatever. And the opportunities for spying on this court in exile were numerous.
Well, thanks there to historian Stella Fletcher for sharing with us her scholarly expertise. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.